T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Sideline reporter for Bears Radio, WBBM.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. They finally spoke at Hallis Hall, Bears reporter Mark Grody.
They did, and it was interesting. There was news. There was near news out at Hallis Hall today, and I think the first thing on everybody's minds out there was the kicker, Cody Parkey, not just for having missed the field goal. Perhaps we've covered that, but for his recent endeavor, his appearance on the Today Show, and we'll start with that. You are about to hear from both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. Nagy is the one who will address the Today Show appearance by the Bears kicker first.
Yeah, I found out, I don't even know the exact time that it was, but you know, for me, and you understand that we always talk about, you know, a we and not a me thing, and we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
I was going to say, did you think it was appropriate?
Again, I didn't think it was a we thing.
We know that position is an emphasis for us. Like, I think that we understand we need to get better there. We need more production out of that position. And, Matt talks about it all the time. There's so much parity in our league, so many close games. The kicker position is critical. So we know we need to get better there, and it'll be an area of focus.
Will you be a Bear?
Those are things that need to play out as we go into it.
I thought both terrific answers and both unexpected answers. I did not expect Nagy to step out like that, and clearly he is displeased with Parkey having gone on the Today Show. I fully had expected the answer to that question would be, hey, he's free to do whatever he wants. Maybe not the decision I would have made, but obviously they are extremely displeased. And then you have Ryan Pace saying that we have to get better at that position. And I don't necessarily think he means let's make the kicker that we have better.
Yeah, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah.
Bears fans, you're going to get your wish. The general manager and the head coach pretty much told you that without telling you that today. There's not much between the lines in those comments, is there?
I don't think so. The only thing is, at a different point in the press conference, he said there absolutely will be competition at that position. So in theory, you could say we're going to try to get better there by Parkey's under contract and there's guaranteed money, and we're bringing in competition and let the best man win.
Yeah,
but I feel like it would just be untenable to bring him back.
Well, and the way that Pace answered the question of will there be competition at kicker, it was sort of like, well, yeah, no matter what, there always will be competition at that position. So
except this year.
Well, there will be plenty of participants, it sure sounds like. I also think,
unfortunately, didn't find one at Goose Island on Saturday.
No, what was it, 0 for 50?
0 for 101, yes. Or 0 for 104, or
hey,
something like that.
Something wacky like that, yeah.
Wacky!
Hey, it's a wacky stunt going out here at Goose Island. Come on down, get yourself a case of beer, kick a 43-yard field goal. Parkey, I think, guys, knew he was gone probably before he went on the Today Show, and that's probably what emboldened him to go on
maybe the
Today Show. And I haven't heard your guys' opinions. Were you guys outraged like the rest of the world that he went on the
Today Show?
Thought it was stupid that he would do that.
Right. I actually get it from a human standpoint. Like, there is the part of me that does feel bad for the human being because of what he did. I think we could all relate to something, doing something awful like that and then having to live with it. No, actually, we can't relate to it on that type of stage.
But he missed a kick in a wild card game.
He did. He did. He took the – he went on the wrong show and he did it too soon. Like, if he had gone on like a serious sports show and he was answering sports questions about the kick and what happened and the mechanics of it and the special teams, that would be one thing. But this was a come on over here, we're going to give you a figurative hug while we interview you.
Just wondering, while we're talking this through, if Alshon Jeffrey has any plans to do the Today Show this coming Friday, because that was debate I heard on my Good Morning Football Today. Is he the reason the Eagles lost? Is it his fault they lost? And one member of the panel says, yes, it's absolutely his
ball
fault.
Went through his
sure,
hands.
It's a team game. Sure, many things transpired before then, but in the most important moment, he dropped the ball that was thrown right to him.
Oh, but would they have been there without him? That catch that he made at the 3-yard line at Soldier Field, one of the biggest catches of the season for Philadelphia. I know that wasn't the answer, but I just gave you the annoying answer.
Yeah. Okay, appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Cody Parkey's just a tool.
Cody Parkey's done.
He just comes off so corny. And that's coming from me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, what do
you. The interviewers didn't do him any favors. They didn't do their audience any favors. It wasn't an. They didn't make it an interesting story. Talk about it in context. He'd hit the post 3 times, or the crossbar several times earlier.
It was a story of compassion. Seriously, that's what it was. Yeah. From their perspective. It was, oh, my God, look what this guy's been through.
Poor guy.
Look how courageous he was.
He answered questions.
Yeah, he faced the media.
What? He'd have been a weasel if he didn't answer questions.
I think he might honestly be out of the NFL. Like,
That's possible.
He'll get it. Someone will invite him to camp, and he'll be in a competition. But his career might be over.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he'll I think he still could actually have a successful kicking career, as ridiculous as that sounds. I don't think out of the league. I mean,
he can't kick one past 52 yards. They don't trust him beyond 52. Now you've got accuracy issues all season long from shorter than that. I don't know how he doesn't lose a job in training camp. You got to have nobody in there who's even remotely close to being an NFL kicker if he beats him
up.
It
just seems like, remember when we thought it's possible that they cut Cody Parkey? I couldn't think of one name on the street, like just off the top of my head. So that would probably portend well for Cody Parkey at some point in time in his life having a job in the NFL, even if it's not this year, but being one of those guys on the scrap heap, somebody that you go to if your kicker misses 5 or 6 field goals. But I think he'll still have an NFL life.
We'll see.
All right, what do you guys want to do next? We've got
Kareem Hunt.
Let's do that. Yes.
This was the lead. We felt this was the biggest story out of today's news conference.
I thought it was extremely interesting too, and we're going to hear from Pace and Nagy on Hunt. Here's the exact question. We're going to hear from Pace first, and then right after that you'll hear from Matt Nagy, and you'll get it when you hear it within the context here. But the question to Pace, does Kareem Hunt's baggage eliminate him from consideration as a free agent or somebody to go to the Bears?
That's a good question. As we go into that, obviously there's a lot of things off the field that he's got to take care of, you know. You know, Matt knows Kareem Hunt. I don't know Kareem, but those things are all going to have to play out.
There's one thing right now with Kareem, and that's worrying about him as a person. I talked to Kareem, and as a completely wanted to know how he's doing, and we had a good conversation. And here's a kid that I spent a year coaching on offense. It's a tough situation. I wanted to see. Making sure that he's okay, but understanding too that, you know, the situation that happened is unfortunate for everybody, and he knows that. So the only thing I cared about when I talked to him was literally his personal life, how he's doing, it was a good conversation. He sounded good, but that's it. I mean, I the other stuff, that's not where it's at. It's about, there's more to it than the football. So we talked strictly on that.
The conversation that they had that he was referring to happened about a week ago, according to Nagy. Nagy also indicated that he is a guy that does believe in second chances, and taking that from Andy Reid, who tended to give players second chances.
Sure. And I don't think we needed to know anything more than what he said. He said the conversation was about things other than football.
Yeah.
The fact that he was forthright enough to let us know he initiated the phone call was enough for me.
I find it to be, still 3 hours later, just shocking that he said it. I just don't.
In a good way or bad way?
Just in a revealing way. I don't really see the upside from the Bears standpoint. I mean, people on the text line were saying they're floating it out there to, you know, gauge public backlash and interest and that sort of thing. It was just a startlingly honest thing to offer up that he personally called Kareem Hunt in the last week. Well, 8 days ago, you were playing in the NFL playoffs. So did you literally call him 7 days ago, the day after you were eliminated? Mm-hmm. Did you call him before the Philly game? Because if you called him after the Philly game, it wasn't that long ago. That means one of your first orders of business after your season ended was checking in on Kareem Hunt. You can't tell me that that's coincidental.
It's a good thing he said what he said, though, that he didn't say we talked about football, that he said, that Nagy basically
Correct.
Said, to sum it up, I was checking in on a friend. You know, I was checking to make sure that he's okay. His life is straight. He didn't say anything about
right.
football.
Nobody believes that.
Parkins,
no one believes that.
You said
he could have
is
called
right.
him 6 months ago yeah. or 4 or 3 months ago when it
check,
happened.
If it's a wellness you do it on an off day or when you got 10 minutes.
That's
what
news
happens
breaks.
As soon as that abrupt conclusion to our season happens, I got to call Kareem.
Does anybody believe
you're right.
that he's just calling him to check up now? He could have checked up on it when it happened.
I'm thinking it's a possibility, but I absolutely, based on things he said today, I think the Bears want him.
What's been the reaction from texters, callers,
split,
tweeters?
Yeah,
I mean, are they...
like it always yeah. has been. Well, I shouldn't say always. Like it's been in recent years.
Right.
You know, people point to other decisions made by all of our teams in town that have involved guys who've had domestic violence issues.
And again, this is assault, not domestic
right.
violence.
Correct.
And I do think that distinction should be made. He did not know the woman. And I'm not saying one is better or worse. He still is violence against a woman.
Go ahead, pick one if you like.
But the other thing is, Matt Nagy's got to do a little bit better job if they actually are going to do this. He's got to do a little bit better job of being careful with his word choice. Like, Theo got really good at talking about it around the Addison Russell story, and he clearly educated himself on it. He talked about incident as if it was a singular incident. Google Kareem Hunt and violence. There's multiple times of cops being called, getting in fights at nightclubs in downtown Kansas City. There's three separate incidents of violence off the field with Kareem Hunt that are out there. So it's not the only one that everyone talks about is with the woman that was caught on camera. But Kareem Hunt's got an anger management problem, and he tends to resort to throwing punches and shoving people or kicking a woman when she's on the ground. So he's got to... they're going to have to button that. When he says second chances, you could make the argument that he's already had multiple violent incidents, that this would be a third or a fourth chance. Now, a second chance in terms of a team, but he's had multiple violent incidents since he's been in the NFL.
The other part, too, is unless I miss something on my 25-minute walk over here, I don't think he's received his suspension yet for next season, and we don't know if that's going to be
put on the commissioner exempt list and cut from the Chiefs.
Right. So presumably there will be sometime during this offseason. Well, I don't even know how that works, honestly. Is he even in the NFL right now?
He's on the commissioner exempt list. He, in theory, has to apply for reinstatement. And then the order of things, like, I don't know if a team has to sign him and then he gets suspended, or if he gets suspended and then you can sign him afterwards. I don't know the logistics. We can look into it. But, yeah, he very easily could have to sit out the first six-something games
right,
of next year.
Right, and I don't know if that matters to teams. I mean, if you are investing in him, you're probably going to get him for a decent price at this point, but all the baggage that would exist.
There is baggage, too. I mean, one more incident, and it's going to be a year suspension or a lifetime ban. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell, the team that takes him on next year. One more positive test, and he's out for a year.
Yeah, and there was the pace. Was it Ray McDonald? Yeah, Ray McDonald was a guy that the Bears last took a chance on. They lost in that case. That said, I should point out, too, that Pace did not, you know, rule out the possibility of bringing in another guy, any player, ex-player, with baggage just because of the past guys that didn't work out or free agents that didn't work out. He says every case is different for whatever it's worth on that.
And I want to highlight this, too. And I know there's like a corner of the internet that thinks, oh, Parkins talks about Kansas City. Like, Matt Nagy only coached under one person. It was Andy Reid. I happened to cover Andy Reid and Matt Nagy when they were there. So it's firsthand experience. When he talks about Andy Reid giving guys second chances, the most high-profile example is Mike Vick when he got out of Leavenworth when he was in Philly. But there are innumerable examples if you talk about draft prospects that they signed off on taking. And Andy Reid did, for a time, have final say on personnel. Travis Kelce fell to the third round, had been suspended in college for a violation of team rules. Marcus Peters had gotten in fights and gotten in. It was almost kicked off a team.
There isn't an organization in the league that doesn't have a handful of those guys, right?
No, absolutely. And I'm not saying all of those are the same as Kareem Hunt and violence with a woman. But what I am saying is that Andy Reid has absolutely fostered an environment. Stephen Gaines, I could keep going back in my history just in the 4 years that I covered him in Kansas City of guys with the quote-unquote checkered past, like something in their draft grade or their free agency profile. And he believes that you set up a good culture, you rehabilitation, be a father figure. He has the experiences in his own life with his son, with the drug abuse and being a drug addict. Like he absolutely believes in second chances. And so Matt Nagy, he believes in it too. I'm just telling you. I said it 6 weeks ago when we were talking about it, that I think the Bears are going to be on the short list for Kareem Hunt.
It's so agonizing because he clearly did a horrible thing or things, yet he's such a perfect fit for the Matt Nagy offense, and he is hyper-talented. He's 24 years old, and so you can see the conflict that kind of exists within fans, or at least, you know, half the fan base, maybe, the way you guys are talking, and maybe even a conflicted coaching staff, management, and ownership team for the Bears as well.
If the legal system gets finished with him and he's a civilian, he's a citizen, I have no problem with the young man trying to earn a living. I won't buy his jersey. I won't jump up out of my chair maybe as enthusiastically as I would if it were someone else.
You would jump out of your chair?
I think it's difficult to my age.
Well, he just had cortisone in his knee, he's feeling very springy right now.
I had a cortisone shot on Friday, and speaking of Friday, since we were all here Friday, the Bears have a new defensive coordinator.
Oh,
and his name is Reggie Hammonds.
Reggie Hammonds. Yeah. New sheriff in town. Yes. Hey, it's Chuck Pagano.
Pags is here.
He was not at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest today. I should point that out. But one of the things that everybody's been talking about, obviously you had a really successful predecessor in Vic Fangio. So everybody's worried, are things going to change? How much are things going to change with Chuck Pagano being the defensive coordinator of the Bears? And here's Matt Nagy on that issue.
You know, we're in a position here where they both have the 3-4 scheme family, and we've talked about it before, where when you see all these 11 personnel offenses that teams are playing, you're in more sub defense, four down, and so you're talking about a minimal part of the game when you talk as far as 3-4 versus sub. But then you have the language part of it and where they're at. And again, there's some familiarity there. You got to remember Vic and Chuck worked together in Baltimore.
So whether it's preseason or training camp or whatever, early season, might there be some kind of step back relative to this year before you take a step forward?
Well, we just have to see. That'll be really neat to see how that goes, and we'll have to monitor that throughout the OTAs and getting into training camp. But anytime you have a change like this, it's not like going into year five of the same defense. There's that's expected, but it's how fast can you get it back up? Now, it's also Chuck is he understands what he's coming into here player wise, and we all as coaches understand too that when you're surrounded by good players, a lot of times it's the players and not the plays, Chuck has tons of experience. He gets that, and he'll do everything he can to make sure that we keep this thing rolling.
He has an aggressive attacking style, does Chuck Pagano. And here's why I thought it was a good hire, just the snapshot. You have what appears to be a championship-caliber defense already. We know that, filled with Pro Bowlers and maybe even more next year. I think that you didn't want to overcomplicate this hire, that I think credibility may be the most important thing in the eyes of players like that, not just anybody could step into our defensive room now, especially being that everybody liked Vic Fangio, it better be somebody who's got some credibility, and I think Pagano has that.
Yeah, he's been a head coach in the league, that was something the Bears happened to be very fortunate this time around. There were a lot of guys who are nearing the end, you know, and Vic Fangio's 60 also, but the guys who are nearing the end who were head coaches and were available to be defensive coordinators, they got lucky this time around.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty easy plug-and-play fit. When he had elite talent in Baltimore, they had an elite defense.
Yeah, and I think every single Bears fan listening, if I know Bears fans the way I think I know Bears fans, they're going to like when they hear this is a guy who likes the blitz a little bit more in certain situations, perhaps, than Vic Fangio. And I know that makes for a more, perhaps, entertaining style of defense. So we'll see if that does come to pass.
It was pretty entertaining this year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. Like, how much better can it actually get? It is not clear at this point if secondary coach Ed Donatell will stick around. We'll see if he does go join Vic Fangio in Denver.
Big loss if he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, he's a veteran guy who has you guys are smiling. What? What?
We get a kick out of your fondness for assistant coaches.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Brandon Staley's gone. We're sorry.
I know. I was going to get into that next. So, yes, Ed Donatell to me is a big loss. I don't like losing a young defensive coach, Brandon Staley, off of the list, but my guy Glenn Pyers is still there.
Glenn Pyers is
still there, as far as I know. So yeah, he's got a little bit of the Mike Tice talk a little bit in him. So he is still there. Jay Rogers is still there, the defensive line coach.
Baby, hire Glenn Pyers.
so yes, there could be some changes on the coaching.
You got another segment in you?
Absolutely. I've got some.
Does he have? He's Moby Dick in a goldfish.
Yeah. I just wanted to be sure you didn't have anywhere to run because I got Trey Burton, Tariq Cohen, and I know you got some Bears nuggets.
And some stuff on Mitchell Trubisky as well.
All right, beautiful. So it sounds like we're talking some Bears offense with Mark Grody coming up on Bears. The Score.
I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of this speech.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves return home this week to face division rivals Grand Rapids, Rockford, and Milwaukee. Wednesday is a craft beer arena crawl night, and Saturday is esports night. Visit ChicagoWolves.com and join on the quest to be the last team standing. Our Bears reporter, Mark Grody, hanging out.
He is in the middle of his Bears speech, Dr. Nichols.
He is not well.
I'm in the middle of this speech.
Did you hear Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football attempt it?
Mac texted me, and I did listen to it. It was a good Dr. Nichols. I don't have a good Dr. Nichols. Mine is, like, exaggerated and cartoonish. It's just, he is Dr. Kimball, is not well. He's not
Richard,
well.
I'm in the middle of this speech.
Kyle Brandt.
It's pretty good. It's very subtle. Yeah, he's not forcing it. I like it.
Got the gesticulating down too, with the hands up.
One more thing about Dr. Nichols.
Please.
He tells everybody to calm down. Like, wait a minute. There's nothing to see here. Calm down.
Dessert.
It's okay. This crazy man won't hurt you.
The most wanted man in the city. It's not going to be a problem.
Richard doesn't feel well.
He's not well. I don't know why I do it like that, but I like it.
We all do, too. We keep going for it. So Matt Nagy said, if you don't think I want to get the ball to Tariq Cohen more, then you don't know me very well, and we got a problem. He was a little defiant about it after the game, a little defiant about it today. He knows that four touches wasn't enough. But I'm curious what we think about Tariq Cohen going forward. 99 rushing attempts this year, 71 catches, 33 punt returns. That's 203 touches. He's 5'6". How many more touches do we think that Tariq Cohen can get going forward?
I don't think you're going to get many more than that, honestly. If you want to do what you say you want to do with your offense, and that is to spread the football around and maybe get the football more to a guy like Trey Burton, who we thought was going to have the football a lot more this year. Even you can even look like somebody like Allen Robinson. You have to expect Allen Robinson to be a 1,000-yard receiver, don't you? I mean, he should be the class of the Bears wide receivers. So, you know, that said, and then you have obviously Taylor Gabriel, and then Anthony Miller is so promising. I think that now that you spell it out with all those touches, I don't know that there is a way, and there necessarily should be a way.
You said 33 punt returns. Does that include fair catches?
Because, no, those would be the returns.
Okay. I just want to clarify, because he does fair catch the ball an awful lot. In fact, every damn one of them against the Eagles was a fair catch.
Yeah, and I also wonder if from watching the kick return game this year, where they tried many, Benny Cunningham, Josh Bellamy was in there.
Yeah.
Taquan Mizell.
Tariq Cohen should be returning kickoffs.
I think he should. And I get it in this NFL when you're catching the ball, you know, near the goalpost, it seems like half the time from the kickoffs, it's not as big of a deal. But it seemed like there was subtly and quietly a story brewing, and that the Bears could not find a guy to adeptly return kickoffs this year. So I guess that would be the only place that I would say, yeah, you can add more. But other than that, considering all the weapons the Bears supposedly have, I think 200 is pretty good.
200 is about right.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the game. It depends on circumstances, situations. He certainly should have had it more than four times last week against the Eagles.
Of course. Everyone agrees on that. I just, in terms of expectations for him, he's there. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a really good player. He's arguably the most dangerous weapon on the offense. And you go back and look through Darren Sproles. It's not like he has a season with over 100. I mean, he never has had, actually, as I look at it, Darren Sproles has never had more rushing attempts in a season in his career than Tariq Cohen did this year. He never had 100 carries.
I think Tariq Cohen has a real good opportunity to be a more special player than Darren Sproles. I think he has more breakaway speed than Sproles does.
And maybe Matt Nagy knows that. If he's expecting more or trying to figure out more ways to get him the football, maybe there is another level in Tariq Cohen that we don't know about at this point.
Let's resume this conversation in Bourbonnais.
Okay. Yes.
Touches right. For Tariq Cohen.
By the way, I already can't wait till Bourbonnais. I know I'm not supposed to say that because I should enjoy my time off, but I am, because of this team and that experience this year, I cannot wait until July, whatever, 22.
I talked to some Bears fans over the weekend who feel similarly, not about Bourbonnais, but about the Bears and next season, how it sucks to not have any of their games. This weekend, you're watching all these playoff games. It's snowy, it's cold, and they're idle. But everybody I talk to says, I feel so good about the direction this team, the steps they took this year in their first year under Matt Nagy, makes it for a lot shorter offseason.
Well, and then there's the part, too, that, you know, Ryan Pace said something today that should get Bears fans excited, that this is an offseason where now you're tweaking from a good position. Now you're thinking about free agents and potential trades from a pile-on side of things, as opposed to last offseason, which was kind of a desperate offseason. Like, we have to make major changes, and we have to get it right. Now this is, there you go, this is the fun part now, where you have, hopefully, for the Bears' sake, a championship type of team. Now you get to add the players that will get you to that level, and that's kind of fun to watch.
And I know they addressed today a huge part of it's just going to be, you know, Shawshank's salvation lies within. This is going to be improvement lies within. Like, how much can Mitch Trubisky get better, right? It's year two in the system next year. How much of a leap can he take?
I have something from Nagy on that right here.
For him, he conquered the next play mentality. He conquered that. He conquered the steps of 101 progressions. By the end of the year, he was reading progressions 1-2-3 run, right? That he conquered. Now I think level two next year is going to be him really recognizing pre-snap what he's about to see from these defenses. So last year he was so focused in on what do we do on offense. Hell, I've never run this offense before. What does that mean? Now he knows. He knows it all. And now he can take that next step of figuring out, okay, here they come. They got a Saul blitz, cover zero. Now I know what to do. I know what to check to, or I know where to put, you know, protection, all that. That's going to be the big one for them.
Yeah, and Nagy also went out of his way to rave about Trubisky, some of those throws that he made in the second half. That's what we'd be talking about right now if Cody Parkey hadn't missed that kick.
Cover zero, by the way. Anybody? Bueller?
There's nothing.
No. More rushers than protectors.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Did you know that, Parkins?
Not exactly, yeah. No. I would not have had that in those exact terms, no.
Yeah, I did. I kind of do, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
Bears.
Football jargon.
Football jargon.
Cover zero.
Five technique.
Yeah.
Look at him move.
A three technique is a specific, special
it's a newer
thing.
Kind of situation.
It's a newer kind of situation.
It's a big part of what they do in their secondary gymnastics.
Stupid Wikipedia.
What Bears nuggets you got for us from today?
Yeah, there's a bunch of things.
I figured.
Wide receiver Anthony Miller will have shoulder surgery. The shoulder kept popping out throughout the year, so he will get that taken care of once and for all, and presumably he'll be ready to go for Bourbonnais. Khalil Mack, by the way, suffered a minor knee sprain versus the Eagles, and that is why he is not participating in the Pro Bowl. I thought this was some a bit of good news for the Bears. Ryan Pace says that the plan is to pick up Leonard Floyd's fifth-year option. And, man, did he have a long season and a pretty good crescendo, because the way things started for him and the questions that were being asked about him and his lack of quarterback sacks, and now all of a sudden there was no hesitation in Pace's voice that you get that fifth-year option.
You go into next year feeling like – feeling really good about him.
Absolutely.
Their linebacking core is as good as it's ever been, and that's linebacker city, right? Lake Forest, that's what it says when you cross Deer Path. Mm-hmm. Linebacker city. He's going to be great. I think he's really got good things ahead.
Isn't
it
amazing that we're saying that? Because at the beginning, the early Bears reports I was doing, we were all like, how come he can't sack the quarterback? How much is that cast on his hand really affecting him? Is he going to be a Bear? Is he a bust? And now all of a sudden, it's like, give that man his money.
Well, it's also all about the situation that you're in and what surrounds you, right?
Yeah. He fits in perfectly with that.
He stayed healthy, and they got Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, his job's a lot easier. And it's not to take any credit away from him, but it's a great situation to be the number two pass rusher instead of being the number one guy.
There is nothing clear. Transparent as the guys were today, nothing clear cut right now, and understandably, on potential re-signings of free agents, Adrian Amos, Bryce Callahan, and Bobby Massey. And I do ask you guys, where would you guys put the priority? Pick one of those guys. Who would you give the money to? Amos, the right tackle Bobby Massey, or your nickelback Bryce Callahan?
Probably Callahan.
Not knowing where the other free agent talent is, or
yeah, it's tough.
It's tough for me to not say Amos.
Yeah, I go Amos
but,
too.
But I understand why you'd say Callahan. He plays a specialty position, and everybody says he's one of the best in the league at playing slot corner.
Yeah. I just think that job's harder than what they ask Adrian Amos to do. I think there's probably more people that can do Adrian Amos's role in this defense.
And find somebody else to hit Zach Ertz in the head after the ball's already on the ground so he can give them another series of downs next year.
I think a lot of Bears fans are also traumatized by the years of, and you guys remember the years of, the draftings. Every year they draft a safety, and finally, here you have it. You have one all-pro safety in Eddie Jackson and one very, very steady guy in Adrian Amos. So maybe the trauma from all that is what's affecting me and my hopes.
They just don't have a guy like Mike Brown around no more.
Hey, a couple of walk-offs against Cleveland and San Francisco. That guy should probably be a Hall of Famer, honestly, just because of those 2 weeks.
Can't disagree. And by the way, they haven't had a guy like Mike Brown until Eddie Jackson, right?
No.
The Bears didn't have a good safety for a decade.
Yeah. There's a list. Like, the safeties list is like the Bears quarterbacks list through the years. Like, if you guys really looked it up, are, the Archulettas of the world and just name after name after
Adam
name.
Adam Archuleta got paid rather handsomely to do nothing here.
By Lovie Smith.
Yep.
Remember, that was Lovie's guy.
That was a big contract,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it because we knew his name. Yeah. You know, it was
we knew his name.
Hey, Adam Archuleta, he did stuff. That sounds like a great, great signing for the Bears, but indeed it was not. So
Ryan Pace said today that they went from last 2 years, most guys on the IR, and I did not know this, but he said that they had the fewest players on IR this year in the NFL, and he admitted that a big portion of that is luck, but he also said how we practice and when we practice is a portion of it. Do you have any insight into like what they are specifically crediting with keeping guys healthy? We know they were conservative when guys would get nicked up and sit one game, so a one game injury doesn't turn into a four game injury. But do you have anything else as to why they went from the least healthy team in the NFL to the healthiest team in the NFL?
The only thing I could say is you're right about what they did with players in season. Watching Bourbonnais, where we get to see obviously everything, all the practices and everything that goes on. Whenever there was any slight indication of a player being injured, they took him right out of there. And they would usually sit 1 or 2 days. I'll give you one example. Remember Aaron Lynch? Like, he was out so long in Bourbonnais to the point where we didn't know if that guy was going to make the team. And I think the plan was for him to all along make the team. But they just were being that careful with injuries. So beyond that, I mean, I know that they have taken greater care and gone to higher measures, but as far as like really what's going on backstage, that I can't tell you.
All right, great season,
man. Good stuff, Moby.
Yeah, I had a blast with you guys. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk probably coming up next. We got the scouting combine. In fact, like before you know it, that's what we're going to be talking about. So
mid-round running backs. That's going to be your beat this offseason.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll see what happens with the Bears free agents. And
you were going to be down in Indianapolis for like 3, 4, 5 days.
Who knows? You know, the fact is that like since the Bears are picking in the third round, the urgency is probably not as much. So I don't know. It's all up to Mitch Rosen and how much he wants to, you know, let me use the old company credit card. So we'll see. We'll see how that.
We should debate it on the air.
Yeah. Oh, geez, are we still on the radio right now?
It's crazy.
Well, guys, in the words of Reggie Hammonds, y'all be cool now.
Bears.
Right, Bears. Take care.
That's Mark Grody, our Bears reporter. This is McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
The McNeil and Parkins Show.
I was listening to the McNeil and Parkins Show.
Afternoons on The Score.
We're going to ask Cody Parker in an exclusive live interview.
Happened again. No one ever mispronounced Adam Vinatieri. You know why? Because he makes his meaningful kicks.
Adam Vinatieri at the age of 46. Oh, and he hits the upright. Of all things. Wow, down the field they go, trying to cut it to a two-possession lead. And folks, we have seen this before.
Wow.
Like 6 days ago.
That wasn't a doink, that was a dong.
Ooh.
It was a dong.
Could not believe he missed that kick. Shortest miss of his career.
I know. Less than 24 hours after I said that. He never misses kicks. Watch this. He missed a couple of them.
Yes, he did.
That wasn't a doink. That was a dong.
Ooh. So I hit the upright, and I hit the crossbar, and I'm like, sure, surely it'll go in.
Hilarious, Cody. Unbelievable. You think Adam Vinatieri retires?
I don't know. He's still pretty productive, yes. Aside from Saturday's crap fest.
Yeah, he's what?
44,
mid-40s?
I think.
Yeah. White beard.
That's one thing, you know, as long as you feel comfortable and if you still have 55 yards in you, keep going, right?
Pays well.
The oldest player I can remember at the professional level, he was a former quarterback who was kicking only late in his career, was George Blanda. Now, you'd have to ask Hub about his quarterbacking career.
Okay.
I don't remember it. All I remember is him being a kicker, and I think he kicked until he was 47. I think 47 or 48.
Okay.
I'll confirm that. But yeah, if you still want to do it, keep kicking.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is planet. Text planet, P-L-A-N-E-T, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is planet to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
George Blanda played 26 seasons in the National Football League. He retired in 76 as the oldest player ever to play. He was 48 when he walked away from the game.
48 years old.
Yeah.
Think Brady will get there?
Get to 48? Yeah.
He said 41.
Yeah. Still playing? No. I think he'll get there, but I don't think he'll still be playing. I don't know. Brady looked damn good the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, and with that running game, it makes things a lot easier on him.
No doubt about it. He gave it to people, too. We suck, he said after the game. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you mentioned it. Your eighth straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead. What can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
He couldn't wait to get that in. He's been listening to it. They've all been listening to it.
Clearly.
In Boston. They've been hearing the lack of respect. You know, lately that's been true. Of when people talk about the Patriots, they've all been saying, and we did it too last week, we don't have the same regard for them we have in recent years because it looks like Brady is starting to finally show some signs of high miles.
Absolutely. It's true, and though the public loved the underdog, and when the public loves an underdog, you should run to the favorite. And the public was all over the Chargers, myself included, and I'm a sucker, and I fell for it, and I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I still, even if Stephen A. Smith and the pregame show Talking Heads or the Boston Sports Radio or whoever he's referring to, because it certainly wasn't me on Twitter, like whoever Tom Brady is listening to and he heard that, I still feel like he's too damn accomplished to play the nobody believes in us card. You're Tom Brady. You got 5 rings. You're the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the sport.
I don't think he himself needs that to keep the fire burning, but I don't know what his motivation for sharing. Maybe he's just tired of hearing it because he has been hearing it.
And it shows that athletes, no matter what you've accomplished, you can conjure something up and create a narrative to give you that motivation.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. I remember Bart Scott when the Jets had the number one ranked defense. He did an interview under Rex Ryan, and he was like, no one thinks that we're the best defense in the NFL. And I was like, number one.
Right.
Best, like, what are you talking about?
Right. For the Jaguars last year.
Yes. Yeah, same thing.
You don't get any respect. You're 7-point favorites. What are you talking about?
And that was what I was thinking. Like, the Patriots were a 4-point favorite at home. They were the preseason Super Bowl favorites. How is that not respect?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I don't know. Maybe you don't watch as much as I do. Maybe you don't see it. But Twitter's more negative than the shows I watch. The Good Morning Football show, or if I'm watching other shows on NFL Network, it has been consistently the chorus has been the Patriots' reign is coming to an end.
Well, also, hold on a second. That's true, right? It is coming to an end. At some point soon.
Yes, it is.
It's coming to an end.
Yeah, and why national people want to pound it down our throats, too, is this Gronk's last game in Foxborough? That's a Boston story.
See, I disagree with that. Gronk is one of the few football players that is a celebrity who my wife knows what he looks like. He is a crossover pop culture star who's the best tight end in the history of the sport, who would be retiring really young.
I'm not sure I'm with you on the best in history, but that's not the point. Yes, I agree with you. He is a very popular figure, but you know, after the fact, when they advance and they're going to Kansas City this weekend, the dialogue still is, it's possible yesterday he played his last game in Foxborough. Really? He's playing again this week. It won't be in Foxborough, but let's let him go to the 816 and see what happens there before we start. I don't know. I don't find it to be that compelling. Brady is more interesting to me when Brady decides he's had enough. And he's given no indication as to whether he still wants to do this for a lot longer, has he? I haven't heard anything recently, anyway.
No, he keeps talking about being able to do it. But, so I mean, Rob Gronkowski is 29 years old.
Yeah.
A 29-year-old who would be a Hall of Famer retiring is more unusual than a 41-year-old who's going to be a Hall of Famer retiring.
I got it.
So that
I understand.
That I think that's the newsiness part of it. And, by the way, he looks like he should. Gronk is 29 going on 49. He looks slow out there. He's wearing the Barry Bonds body armor.
Right. He has taken an absolute beating the last several years, and he plays the game very, very hard. I like the way he plays the game, no doubt. But I just don't know how many people outside of Boston. You say more than I, you know, maybe the truth is somewhere in the middle. Maybe half the world wants to know about it and half don't care.
I don't know. I just think that, you know, he's one of those guys. He, in commercials, Yo Soy Fiesta, picture with the porn star, did the cruise, like
the dancing.
Yeah, you know, he's just
with the dancing and the singing.
Yeah, just good looking guy, and just has been there his entire time. And was talking about it last year. I find him to be kind. I know you had the interview experience with him that wasn't very good, but I find that when I read about him that he's actually kind of fascinating.
I think he's one of the dumbest people I've ever met.
Never spent a dollar of his
past sunset.
Of his football money.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, pretty
that's
smart.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah, lives off of his endorsement money and has banked every dollar he's made from the NFL.
So he can retire.
So that he can retire early. And Gronk will probably, like, that's a guy that we were talking about, why would Cody Parkey go on the Today Show? It's not like he's going to be the next Michael Strahan. Gronk, I don't know, like you said, he's the dumbest person you've ever talked to. Okay, fine. Well, then he'd have trouble with it. But Gronk's going to do something, you know, in media.
That was 6 years ago. He's had enough flight miles. Like we talk about for us, it's no different than with athletes. He was just, you know, he was still pretty new on the scene when he sat down with Spiegel and me in New Orleans. That was 6 years ago now, so it's been some time. Maybe he's gotten better.
What's your favorite speed limit out there? I hope it's somewhere around 70 or something. What is it?
I
am hardcore. I like to go as fast as possible.
Ooh, I like that answer.
Yeah, he's a big dumb animal, isn't he, folks? But he's fun and harmless. And if you're Gronk and you go out to the Super Bowl and you're going to be a Hall of Famer and you're arguably the best in the history of your position and you've got plenty of money and you've got a two-comma job in media waiting for you somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably retire, too.
Let's put on the docket for tomorrow. I know we got an hour left to go today, but for tomorrow, let's talk about the Mount Rushmore of tight ends in NFL history. We'll do a little work on that. That's not an easy one because there are a lot of elements that go into play, and one that plays against Gronkowski is longevity.
Yep. But when you look at his touchdown numbers...
I also love the way he gets low and blocks people. He is not bashful about being a nasty human being, and I appreciate that in my football players.
We'll spin it forward with the Bears off of all the news that came out today from the press conference as well coming up. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
Got a great night's sleep last night after I got home from doing the national show. Didn't want to get out of my Sleep Number 360 smart bed today. My wife and I are both loving it. My sleep number setting is a 75. Hers is a 30. We, like many couples, disagree on mattress firmness, and this is the best of both worlds. She likes the softer bed. I need the firmer mattress for my back. And what's amazing about it is you can set your goals. They can, you know, heart rate, breaths per minute. How much are you tossing and turning? Are you sleeping at least 6, 7, 8, whatever you're setting for your goals? When are you tossing and turning in the night? All the things that you can track so that you really can take ownership of your sleep, and you'll wake up and you'll be feeling better. Come in during the January savings event and save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, and you're only going to find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. They got one up at Northbrook Court, my home location. Is the one over in Lincoln Park on Clybourne. So go into a Sleep Number store near you and find your sleep number setting today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.